All right. How many know God is good? So awesome. Wednesday night, Brother Gary, Sister Linda, y'all did an awesome job. I'm telling you, our Wednesday nights have been powerful. So looking forward to Brandon again. He did an awesome job yesterday. And so it was just a beautiful time. I'm excited about the word today, so why don't we just get right into it? Sister Lydia, we're glad you made it. We weren't expecting you to get here. Okay. All right. Well, we're glad you did. Who was it? Just like Philip being translated? We're glad you made it here. So, Brandon, you got translated from Houston to here yesterday, didn't you? So, he made a fast trip. All right, why don't we just get into the Word? I'm excited about this. I feel like the Lord has led me to this. And so, let's look at it. We're going to begin in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, a very familiar verse. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Brother David, it's good to see you, my friend. Glad you're here today. Psalm 91 and 1 is one of the verse. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, dwell, remain, and continue under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. Praise God. So my title is in the way of a question. Where do you dwell? Where do you dwell? Most believers know that they're supposed to have a secret place. And that's simply having that time alone with the Lord. Whether it's in your bedroom or in your car or in your living room. Believers have heard the sermons. They have read the exact verses, the exact scripture text that we've just read in Matthew 6:6 and Psalm 91:1. They know that prayer matters. They know time with God is important. How many would know that? We know that. But when they actually sit down to do it, they discover a problem nobody prepared them for. They do not know what to do when they get there. So they do what feels natural. They bring their list. And they tell God what they need. They ask for help with what is broken. They request intervention in what is difficult. And after about 10 or 15 minutes of presenting their needs, they run out of things to say. And so they sit there in an awkward silence, wondering if they're doing it wrong. And then they leave. And the secret place then becomes something they feel guilty about rather than something they are drawn to because it feels empty. It feels one-sided. It feels like they are talking to a wall. And the reason it feels that way is not because God is absent. It's because nobody ever showed them what the secret place is actually designed to be, and what is supposed to happen there, and what they're supposed to bring, and what they're supposed to do, or what they're supposed to receive in the secret place. So this morning, I want us to spend a little time and let's see together what this secret place is and what is supposed to happen when you enter in your secret place. First of all, you need to know the secret place is not a religious duty. It is not a spiritual performance. It is not a one-sided transaction where you present your needs and then wait for God to respond. But it is a visit. It is a real two-way, spirit-to-spirit encounter between a son or daughter and a father who is hungry for their company. And like every real visit between people who love each other, it has a natural shape to it. It has a flow to it. And a series of things that happen, if you please, when two people who belong together finally sit down in the same room. And so I want us to look at that flow and what we then, as born-again believers, as children of God, bring, and what we do, and what we receive, and what changes in you or me when we do this on a consistent basis. If you've got paper and pencil for notes, I want to look at six specific things that I believe are supposed to happen in the secret place. And I'll go quickly in this. Six elements that together produce the encounter most believers have been longing for, but have never truly experienced it to the fullest. And I'm talking about our solitude, our alone time with God. And can I just tell you that our Heavenly Father waits, and He waits and looks for this visit, not reluctantly, but eagerly, with a longing for your company, to be alone with Him in a secret place. And that is the very reason God created man in the first place. The secret place is not where you go to perform for God. It is where you go to be with Him as your Abba Father. The Father's heart is hungry for the companionship of His children. God did not create man or woman because He needed servants. He did not redeem you because He needed religious activity. He created us and redeemed us because He wanted companionship. Someone to walk with, someone to talk with, someone to share His heart with, and someone whose company He could enjoy, just as He had with Adam and Eve in the garden before their fall. What did Genesis say? He would come in the cool of the day and walk with them. So every time you enter the secret place, every time you sit down and turn your attention toward Him, guess what? You are giving God what He has always wanted from you. And that is your presence. Not your performance. Not your perfect prayer language. Not your theological knowledge, Brandon. Or your spiritual consistency. No, just your presence. Your company. The simple, genuine act of showing up and being with Him. He loves to show up here with us. But guess what? He loves on Monday morning for you to show up with Him. Listen now, that ought to change everything about what the secret place is and what you do when you get there, because you are not going there to impress God, believe me. He doesn't need our impressing. He already knows us. Amen. You're not going there to earn something. You're not going there to discharge a religious obligation. You're going there to give the Father what His heart has always longed for. And you will find that visit, that simple act of companionship, is going to be the most important thing that you will do all day long. Everything else is down on the list. How's that? Now, before we get to these six elements, I want to dismantle the single biggest misconception that I feel that makes the secret place feel empty for most believers. the misconception that prayer is primarily always about our needs. Guess what? It's not. It should be based on a spiritual fellowship with the Father and with the Master, so that our needs are His needs. Because guess what? We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. We are part of Him. And yet so many believers operate from a standpoint of coming to the secret place because they need something. And sadly, they stay until they have presented everything they need. And then guess what? They get up and leave. And the secret place then becomes only a need dispenser, if you please, rather than a place of fellowship and true intimacy. And Almighty God, who designed the secret place for companionship, ends up receiving nothing from the encounter but a list. Yet, true prayer from His children is simply us sharing our concerns with Him. Whether that's about us, or our family, or some missionary across the ocean. And then waiting and getting His views. Waiting and get His will on the situation. Waiting and get His plans. And our carrying out of those plans with His grace, with His ability, and with His wisdom. It's now not what do I need from God today, but rather what is God thinking about my life? What's He thinking about my situation at the moment? My calling, or what are His plans for me? What does He see that maybe I'm not seeing at the moment? What does He want to say to me in this secret place that I will miss entirely if I spend the whole time talking? Prayer then is a visit with our Father. We should think of it as a valued opportunity, not a duty, not a discipline, Brandon, not a spiritual obligation, but a rare opportunity, the opportunity to sit in the presence, Sister North, of the Creator of the universe, our Creator, who is also our Heavenly Father, and who is hungry for our company. Now, with that foundation in place, quickly, here is the first element of what I believe the secret place is actually supposed to look like. Number one, we enter as a son or daughter. We enter as a son or daughter. That means we can come boldly into the throne room and stand in His presence. In fact, the writer of Hebrews 4:16 tells us that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. So what does it mean to come boldly? It means coming with freedom, coming into the throne room with assurance, coming as sons and daughters, taking your place, not earning your place. Not hoping for your place, but taking your place. And so many believers enter the secret place. Guess what? They enter it apologetically. They come with a vague sense that they have not been faithful enough. They haven't been consistent enough, spiritual enough to deserve a real encounter. And that sense of unworthiness, guess what? It colors everything else that follows. Their prayers come out tentative, simply meaning nothing has been worked out. The request come out uncertain. But watch this. The new creation, that born-again son or daughter, now can stand in the Father's presence as though sin had never been. Stand without guilt and without condemnation and without inferiority. Why? Because of what Jesus did for us at Calvary. Not because of your performance, but because of His performance. What He did. So the first practical thing that happens when you enter the secret place is that you remind yourself of that one reality. You can say it out loud if you want, unashamedly. I am a son, or I am a daughter of the King. I have been made righteous. I have every right to be here. And listen, let the devil hear you say that. I come boldly to the throne of grace, not as a beggar, but as a son or daughter, knowing who I belong to. Praise God. And what happens then is that declaration sets the entire tone for everything that follows. Because a son or daughter who knows they belong, watch this, they pray differently. They pray differently from a beggar hoping to be heard. You come with confidence. You speak with authority. You listen with expectation. And you receive with gratitude. And yes, everything changes when you enter the secret place from your correct position. So number one, we come before Him as a son or daughter, knowing who we are and to whom we belong. Number two, we bring the fruit of our lips. We are to come with thanksgiving. We come with worship. We come with love. We bring the fruit of our lips. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Your worship, your thanksgiving, your words of love, your words of honor are received by God as fruit, as something that He actually receives from us. The secret place then is that place where we give something to God rather than only receive something from Him. Are you with me on that? The fruit of our lips, our praise, our worship, our gratitude, our declarations of who He is, these are all of that are our offering to Him in that time. This is what we bring into the secret place then that blesses the Father, that touches His heart, that fulfills the fellowship that He created for you and me. So again, element number one, come into the secret place as a son or daughter, knowing who you are and to whom you belong. Element number two, come with the fruit of our lips. Number three, make your petitions known boldly and in faith. This is where so many believers spend all their time, but from entirely the wrong position. They enter begging and pleading and hoping with their list of needs. And you have to know that does not move God to act. Yes, He is compassionate. But what moves God is coming into His presence with gratitude and with boldness, in faith, knowing that what we ask of Him, He's going to give. Matthew 21, verse 22. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing. Everybody say believing. Believing, you shall receive. Listen, in faith, we are laying our needs before Him, making our request for ability, for grace, healing for yourself or for someone else, victory for someone. Maybe there's financial needs. Whatever the need may be, we are making our petitions known, not in any arrogant way, but we can do so in faith, knowing what belongs to us, knowing what the promises of God are, and yes, what our redemption provides for us. So we come into the secret place as a son or daughter who knows our legal rights and can rightly put a demand on that basis. We look at the story in the Gospels. You remember where the woman with the issue of blood pressed through the crowd to touch Jesus. When virtue went out of him. One translation says it this way. Jesus said, someone has made a demand upon my ability. And that is the picture of a bold, faith-filled petition in the secret place. Not a shy request from a distance, but a confident demand from someone who knows what Jesus provided and is simply claiming it. So when you bring your needs into the secret place, you do not bring them apologetically and unsure of the outcome. You bring them as a son or daughter standing on the word. Father, your word says, by your stripes I was healed. I am making a demand for healing in this body right now in Jesus' name. Father, your word says, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. I am making a demand for provision in this situation right now in Jesus' name. Father, your word says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm making a demand for victory in this battle right now in Jesus' name. And as we talked about a couple of two or three Sundays ago, as we speak and we remind God of his word, what happens? The angels respond. Angels respond. And they go forth on our behalf. Amen. We don't order them around. We don't talk to them. We don't converse with them. But they go, and when they hear that word, go forth. That is not presumption. That is not arrogance. That is the prayer of a child of God who knows their Father's word and holds it up to him like a mirror. Here you go, Lord. This is what your word says. So we could say prayer then is holding his word up to him. And guess what? He sees himself in the word. He said it. You're asking him to do it. He promised. And guess what? God and his word are one. Amen. All right. Element number four. Fried chicken is waiting. It'll be okay. Element number four. We listen and fellowship. We listen and fellowship. Talking about being in our secret place. And this is the part so many believers skip entirely. And skipping it is why the secret place feels so one-sided. Again, prayer is talking it over with him, getting his views on the situation, finding out what his will is and what his plans are. And guess what? That implies conversation. Two directions. You speak and then you listen. You share and then you receive. You bring your heart and then you hear his heart. So what does listening look like in a practical sense in the secret place? What does listening look like in a practical sense in the secret place? Here it is. Hold on. This is going to be a deep revelation for some folks. Are you ready? Can you really handle this? You stop talking. You stop talking and you be still. That's pretty deep, isn't it? You turn your attention to your inner man. You pay attention to what your recreated spirit is receiving from the indwelling one, from the Holy Spirit himself who dwells inside of you. And you ask, is there a peace settling over something that you brought as a concern? Is there direction forming in your spirit about something you have been seeking guidance on? Is there a scripture or a song rising in your inner man that speaks directly to what you just brought before the Father? Is there a quiet knowing about a relationship or a decision or even the very next step in your life. Listen, there's not a one-sided petition followed by silence, but actually a two-way conversation or communion. You speak, you listen. You give, you receive. You bring your heart and you hear His. That's it. Two ways. And the believer who has learned, listen, to do this consistently, who has developed the patience to sit in the secret place long enough to actually listen, discovers something that transforms their entire relationship with Almighty God. They discover that God has been wanting to say things to them for years, that He has direction and wisdom and comfort and instruction that He has been waiting to communicate. And all that was required was a believer who was willing to stop talking long enough to hear what He had to say. Psalms 85 and 8. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints. This is what distinguishes the secret place from a prayer list. A prayer list is one directional. You speak, you leave. The secret place is a visit, and in a real visit where both parties speak. And the results are there's a knowing that everything is going to be all right. Well, Pastor, how do you know that? Because as the old song says, you just had a little talk with Jesus. One verse says it this way. I may have doubts and fears. My eyes be filled with tears. But Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to Him in prayer. He knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I think we got a song for Wednesday night, okay? Again, you know everything's going to be all right. That is the fruit of the listening, Brandon. That is the settledness, the peace that does not depend on our circumstances, that quiet knowing about what to do next, that sense then of being accompanied rather than being alone. It does not come from talking at God. It comes from sitting with Him long enough to hear what He's saying back to us. The secret place is a conversation, not a monologue. Amen. And the most important thing you can do after you have spoken is to stop and listen. All right, number five. Meditate on the Word. Now, we talk about this a lot. We've preached a lot on it. But again, it's worth hearing again. You shut yourself in alone with your own spirit where the clamor of the world is shut out. And this takes a little bit, y'all. You can't do this in 3 or 4 minutes and then head on out. You make it. You get up early enough. Take one verse, stay with it, chew on it. Let it drop from the head down into your spirit. Let it become a reality in the inner man rather than just a fact in the mind. The secret place is not complete without the Word. Why? Because the Word is the primary way the Father speaks objective truth into your spirit. And then meditation is the process by which the truth moves from information that you know to reality that you live in. Amen? Let me say it again. Meditation is the process by which that truth moves from information that you know and that you've read to reality that you now live in. It's wonderful to know most believers read the Bible. That's good to know. But guess what? Few ever meditate on it. And there's a difference, as vast as the difference is, between me just looking at that Mexican food and eating it. I'm going to do both. I'm going to look at it, and then I'm going to enjoy it. Guess what? Reading gives you information. Meditation gives you transformation. Amen. Psalms 1 and 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. When you take one verse into the secret place and you chew on it, you personalize it and speak it out loud, and you ask it questions, let it settle in your inner man, something happens that no amount of petition or worship alone can produce. Did you hear what I said? Something happens that no amount of petition or worship alone can produce. And as I mentioned last week, the word is alive, and it becomes alive in you. It stops being ink on paper and starts being a living reality in your spirit. And you carry then that living reality out of the secret place into your day with you. So in the secret place, you take one verse, one specific truth that speaks to something you are believing God for, something you need to become real in your spirit than it currently is. And you stay with it. You speak it out loud. You pray it back to the Father. And you personalize it. And you let it dwell richly in your inner man. And you give it time to move from the surface of your thinking into the governing center of your spirit. That is meditation. And the secret place without it, guess what, is incomplete. Meditation is part of it. So element number one, we come before him as a son or daughter, knowing who we are. Element number two, we bring the fruit of our lips. Number three, we make our petitions known boldly and in faith. Number four, we listen in fellowship. Number five, we meditate on the word of God. And here's the last one. Element number six, we pray in the Spirit. We pray in the Spirit. Jude chapter 1 and verse 20 speaks of building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, what is building up? It's every time that you pray in the Spirit in the secret place, you're adding another layer of strength to the inner man. Another layer of sensitivity to the voice of God. Another layer of capacity to receive from the indwelling one inside of you. You're doing construction work on the hidden man of the heart. And that construction work done consistently in the secret place produces an inner man that grows stronger and more developed every single day. The hidden man of the heart is the real you. And the real you, guess what, needs to be built up. It has to be nourished. It needs to be developed. It needs to be strengthened, just as your physical body needs food and exercise. So praying in the Spirit is how the building happens at the deepest level. It bypasses the reasoning faculties. It goes directly from your spirit to the Father. And in the process, it strengthens the very channel through which God leads and He guides and communicates with you. Listen, the believer who prays in the Spirit consistently in the secret place develops a sensitivity and a strength in their inner man that no other discipline can produce. That's why it's important to pray in the Spirit. The still small voice becomes clearer. The inward witness becomes more reliable. The leading of the Holy Spirit becomes more distinct because the inner man, the real receiver, has been built up. 1 Corinthians 14:14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Your spirit prays the real you, the inner man. In direct communion with God and a language that bypasses the limitations of your natural mind. And the things accomplished in that particular communion, the intercessory work, the spiritual edification, the deepening of the channel cannot be produced any other way. So there are the six elements that you have there. Again, enter as a son or daughter. Bring the fruit of your lips. Make your demands boldly. Listen in fellowship. Meditate on the word. Pray in the spirit. That is the secret place. That is what you're supposed to do when you get there. Now, let me show you what the secret place looks like when all of those six elements come together in one consistent daily practice. Not performed in rigid order, not executed as a checklist, no, but flowing naturally the way a real visit between people who love each other that flows. You enter as a son or daughter, and you remind yourself who you are and whose you are. You take your place boldly at the throne of grace, not because you earned it, because Jesus provided it for you. Yeah. You begin to worship Him. You bring the fruit of your lips, that gratitude, that honor, that love. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy that's new and fresh every morning. You give to the Father what only you can give Him. And that is your specific, personal, genuine words of thanksgiving for what He has done in your life. You know what He's done for you. Thank Him for it. And then you make your demands on the word, and you do it boldly and in faith, knowing every promise in the book is yours, every chapter, every verse, and every line. How's that? As that old song goes. As a son or daughter, not begging, but standing in who you are. You bring every need before the Father, and you hold His word up to Him as the basis of your request. And then you stop. You become still, and you listen. You pay attention to what your spirit then is receiving at that moment. You take one verse and you stay with it until it becomes alive in your inner man. And then you yield to the Holy Spirit and you pray in the Spirit, building up that hidden man, strengthening the hidden man, keeping that channel now open for everything that the indwelling one wants to deposit. That is the secret place. And watch this. You won't be able to spend 1 hour in conscious communion with the Father without carrying away from the time alone with Him, here it is, a fragrance that fills the atmosphere. A fragrance that's something that transforms or transfers from the secret place into every area of your life. Here's the fragrance. It's that peace. It's that settledness. It's that quiet authority. It's that knowing that you know. That joy that does not depend on circumstances. That wisdom that now flows into your decisions and into your relationships and challenges then without striving. It does not come from activity. It comes from having been in the presence of the Father long enough, watch this, for something of Him to settle on you and stay. Are you with me? Most believers are trying to produce in their daily lives what only can be received in the secret place. They're trying to manufacture peace by managing their circumstances. It's not going to work. Trying to produce a wisdom by gathering more information. It's not going to work. Trying to generate strength by pushing harder. It's not going to work. It won't last. But you have to know something. The peace, the strength, the wisdom, the authority, that fragrance only comes from one place. And that is the secret place, from that daily, consistent practice of visiting with the Father. Praise God. And here is what I want you to notice about the believers in your life who also carry that fragrance. The ones that are around you who have a settledness that circumstances cannot shake. Those around you who, the ones who walk in a quiet authority that does not come from personality or gifting. The ones who seem to have access to wisdom and direction that others do not. They are not special. They are not more gifted. You've got to know that. They have not received a supernatural impartation that was denied to you. They have simply learned to spend time in the secret place, consistently, daily, with all of these six elements in place. And the fragrance of that encounter then has accumulated in them over time until it is no longer something they carry on an occasional basis. It is who they are. It's now settled in their spiritual DNA. And guess what? That is available to whoever desires it. Starting today. Not someday. Not when your schedule is clear. Not when you have a space on your social calendar. Not when you feel spiritually ready. Today. Look at somebody, say today. Now, I must be preaching good. I'm spitting. Now, as I close, I want to address something that many believers feel when they hear a message like this that has been given like here today. They feel an empty space. They feel a separation between what is being described to them and what their own actual experience of the secret place has been. And that separation, that divide, guess what it does? It produces a negative emotion, in fact, multiple, called shame and guilt. And I want you to know right up front, that's a trick and a tool of the enemy. A deception that is straight from the father of lies, old Slewfoot himself. You ever heard that saying? Old Slewfoot himself. A false sense that they have been doing it all wrong. That they have wasted years of missed encounters. That they are too far behind now to catch up. So why try? You hear me clearly. It's all lies. They are not behind, and you are not disqualified. You are not behind, and you're not disqualified. You got to hear me on this now. The essence of this message this morning is this. The Father has not been keeping score of the mornings that you did not show up. Or the visits that were shallow. Or the times you ran out of things to say and you left early. He did not keep score of those things. But now here is the truth. He has been waiting patiently, consistently, with the same hunger for your company and your companionship today that he had the very first morning that you sit down with him, whenever that was. And so the moment then that you return, the moment that you sit down with him again and you enter as a son or daughter and bring the fruit of your lips and make your demands and listen and meditate and pray in the Spirit, here it is, the encounter that was always available. Here's the word, it resumes. It resumes. No penalty, no waiting period, no spiritual rehabilitation required. Just as a son or just as a daughter coming home to a father who has been there the entire time waiting for your companionship. Praise God. Whew, I could shout on that. Here's our challenge starting today. Stop approaching the secret place as an empty religious duty that you check off your to-do list. Sure, things are going to come up. Start treating it as that rare then opportunity to sit with your Heavenly Father who is hungry for your company. Again, here is what your secret place looks like from this day forward. You enter as a child of the King. You remind yourself you belong there, not because of your performance, but because of what Jesus has already provided. You bring the fruit of your lips, gratitude, worship, and honor. You give the Father what only you can give Him. You make your demands on the Word boldly, specifically, standing on what redemption has already provided for you. And then you stop and you listen. You pay attention to what your spirit is now receiving from Him. Listen, He'll speak to you. He'll give you direction. He'll tell you whether you need to do that or not do that today or tomorrow. You don't need to go there. You need to wait. Don't turn there. Turn here. Don't go to the store today. You stay home today. And then you take one verse and let it become alive in your inner man. And you pray in the Spirit, building up the hidden man, deepening that channel, strengthening the inner man for everything that the day ahead will bring. And guess what, Brandon? We don't know what each day will bring. But we're going to be ready. Guess what? That's the key. Be ready. And again, you cannot spend even an hour in conscious communion without carrying away the fragrance. It's going to be there. Would you look at somebody and tell them, boy, you smell good. Not in the natural. Remember, the fragrance is what changes everything. The peace that follows you into every meeting now. The wisdom that rises in your spirit before your mind has time to panic. Woo, that's a biggie. The authority that flows naturally from a man or woman who has been with a father that is not produced by activity, Brother Tony. It's not manufactured by effort. But it accumulates quietly, consistently, invisibly in the inner man of the believer who keeps showing up in the secret place day after day. Until the day comes when people around you begin to notice something about you they cannot explain. I don't know what it is about you. I can't put words to it. But there's something different there. I don't know what it is about Sister Lydia. There's just something there. There's something that gets their attention. There's a settledness. There's a peace. There's a quiet authority. There's a fragrance about you. And the only explanation is that you have spent time in the secret place. All right, I'm landing the plane now. One more thing. I've been circling, but I'm landing. Okay. I want to speak directly to the believer who has tried then to be consistent in the secret place and has failed. Who started with good intentions, kept a routine for 2 weeks, and then life interrupted, and guess what? The habit broke. Who carries a quiet guilt about the inconsistency. I need you to hear me on this as I finish. Consistency in the secret place is not built overnight. Consistency in the secret place is not built overnight. It is built the same way any habit is built. One decision at a time. One morning at a time. Now hear me closely right now. And the mornings that you missed do not cancel the mornings that you kept. They do not reset the inner man back to zero. That you have to start all over. No. Every time you have ever been in the secret place, every word of worship, every demand made on the word, every moment of listening, every verse meditated on, every prayer in the spirit, here it is, has deposited something in your hidden man that is still there. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you it's not. You do not start over. You simply resume. Are you with me on that? How about let's just get back in there and do it? Amen. Praise God. I long to be in the secret place. Praise God. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. Woo-wee. Can't wait for my time in the secret place. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you today. Lord, just minister to our hearts. Lord, those that are hurting today in their heart or in their spirit or in their physical being, Lord, we speak peace right now in Jesus' name. We speak healing and wholeness. Thank you, Lord, right now. Lord, you see every person in here today. They're not here by accident. It was a divine appointment with you. And so I thank you today. Thank you for what you did yesterday. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our midst today. And Lord, I thank you for what's going to take place this week. I thank you, Lord, that we're going to go from this house and we're going to carry the fragrance. And it's going to spill out on everybody else. They're going to ask, well, what is it? And you're going to be able to tell them. And so, Father, I thank you. I speak blessings over your people as we go from this house. Bring us back here Wednesday night. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I love you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.